for 25, like, what is that? Like,
supposed to look like? The whole week study in order to be able to do that.
How do you do that?
Yeah, like I'm just practically speaking, I'm sitting around the table. Is the Rechol disciplining? Is the Rechol, like, where is the limit of Kodesh?
Well, first of all, the things that are pretty obvious. No business, no TV shows, no nonsense, basically. That's the basics of the basics. To get to a point that it's just Divrei Kodesh, I mean, that's very, very special. But you want to, at least the main thing is not to have regular conversations. And you have a conversation about Divrei Torah. I mean, some Shabbos tables, you literally can close a deal there. And some Shabbos tables, it's only Torah. And the children, they prepare their Divrei Torah. So, yeah, you can do it.
Do you think, if I say that at my Shabbos table, my husband thinks it's not nice that I should tell people not to speak about Shtus. And I'm saying, but it's my Shabbos too. And he says, no, you shouldn't say anything.
Now here comes a very fine line that...
I mean, there's a way to say it.
First of all, of course, there's a way to say everything, but I'll give you one example. Sometimes our Shabbos table is 95% not religious people. Now, if I'm going to start being fanatic on them, they're not going to come back to my table. They're not going to enjoy the Shabbat. They're going to say this is the most boring meal. All he talked about was some stories from the Tanakh. So it really depends what's the Shabbos table. If the Shabbos table is the right crowd around it, that's a whole different thing. Last week, our entire table was only religious people. There wasn't nobody there that was not Shomer Shabbat. So in that type of the table, you can't talk about anything else but Torah. But when four people, five people, 10 people, one person, you want to bring him closer? How are you going to bring him closer if you're hitting him on his head? So it really depends. There's no black and white answer here, because some of the Shabbos tables that we have, 90% of what's talked about is current affairs and politics and business and that. But here and there a Dvar Torah, here and there something small, they bench, they eat kosher food. Why? David HaMelech says, "Im gvar tamim titamam." If a person is tamim, titamam, you be the same way. Tamim means innocent. Achimikesh titpatal. Somebody who's stubborn, you come in all sorts of tricky ways. So tricky, kosher way. So you need to know how to pull a person closer to you. So if I'm going to sit in a table and a person has nothing to do with Torah and Mitzvot, I'm going to start pounding him on his head, some people might like it. So it really depends on the table. And yeah, if the table is in a level that everybody's keeping Torah and Mitzvot, then you definitely want to keep it holy, and there's a way to do it.
I had it so great a few weeks ago when I said something, and so I said, and what something about like what's the parsha where he said this is exactly the parsha, even if it sounds politics.
Great. The thing is that the table, I mean, the entire Shabbat is around the table. We're going from meal to meal to meal. And the ikar, the main part of the Shabbat, is the suda, not the prayer and not the rest and not dafka the meal. And the entire atonement of Shabbat is achieved on the meal, during the meal. That's why you see when we say Birkat HaMazon, right before we say a pasuk, v'daber alai Hashem, v'daber alai zeh ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So the table is going to be my defense attorney, my Melitz Yosher in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we had a beautiful meal. That's why the meal has to be beautiful. Yeah. And the dishes have to be beautiful and the whole Suda. So you want to make it as much as possible that the whole meal is around holiness. And you said with the kids, you know, there's many different ways. Of course, it depends on the age groups.
How we manage? Because all the time in Shabbat, the kids, they make balakan at the table. So my husband gets nervous.
So that's the Yetzer Hara coming and making balagan.
Yes, so how can stop them? Because they don't understand that when it's a sin, they have to sin. It's hard sometimes to manage them.
So you have to make the Shabbat table so special that, for example, in our home, that we don't eat treats during the week. So Shabbat is the treats. And, you know, they want to get the ice cream after the meal, they have to prepare Dvar Torah. I don't have a Dvar Torah, I cannot get from the icy. And we make it in such a way that the fun is around the table. So during the week, not necessarily I would let them sit on me. On Shabbat, they can sit on me. All these fun things are around the meal, and you do a build-up that the entire fun is around the table. Because I don't know how many kids you have, but Baruch Hashem, we have six. So to get attention, or to get the stage, so to say, with six kids, that's not an easy thing. So then that's the time when they can get their 5 minutes of fame. So each one gets their point, time, that they stand up and they say a Dvar Torah, or a story that happened to them, or something they learned this week. But they get like the 5 minute podium. So even if we have a lot of guests, my boys, my 8-year-old and my 10-year-old and even my 5-year-old, they say a Dvar Torah in front of 50 people. And I work with them before Shabbat. And, you know, one of the kids is very sharp. I don't have to prepare with him too much. The other one is a little bit less sharp. We sit and he memorizes and he's in. And then he stands over with his suit and hello, everybody. And he takes it so serious, you know, and everybody's like, wow. And they ask him questions. And he's like, wow, no, I'm an 8-year-old and they're asking me questions. So it's all the way how you present the build-up. It's almost like you know the highlight of the year in the family is the vacation. So why? Because it's hyped up. Because, oh, we're going on vacation in 3 months and all day long you're looking on the internet, we'll take this hotel, no, let's take that hotel, oh, look at that pool, and the hype up. And let's do this and we're going to do that. So if you hype them up for the Seudat Shabbat with the ways that you know how your kids will get hyped up, then you make them excited for the meal. And you make that their favorite food, then you make for Shabbat. And the favorite dessert is for Shabbat. And the treat that they love the most, they get on Shabbat, if they say the Dvar Torah. And it all depends. The thing is that how the parents conduct the ceremony is how serious the kids will take it. So if they see the mother going all crazy 5 minutes before Shabbat, because she can't handle the mess in the kitchen, then the kid by default will also go crazy on the table. Not because he wants to, because that's the energy in the house. So if a woman is, you know, 5 minutes before Shabbat, the house is still a mess, then she has to do her own cheshbon nefesh that she starts the day before. And to make sure that 3 hours before Shabbat, the house is already calm and clean, and the mother is already sitting and reading her tehillim. So the kids are not like hyped up for Shabbat. And the father.
I've tried that for so many years.
So, you know, the Yetzer is always going to come and mess up the plans. But also what the father does. Sometimes the father's like, hey, you know, comes in 5 minutes before Shabbat and come 3 hours before Shabbat, help around the house, help clean things around without screaming. Husbands walk in an hour before Shabbat. So the kids, they look how the parents take it, and they don't mimic it deliberately. A kid doesn't go to his room and starts analyzing, okay, mommy was upset, daddy was a little bit annoying, okay, I'm going to be now upset. Kid doesn't analyze the situation, but they work on instincts. So they see that they see the mom all hyped up, so the kid is going to be, but when they see the parents that they mitangim, they pleasure on the entire ceremony. The whole Shabbat table is a ceremony. Why do you think we do all the singing and the kiddush? And it's a ceremony. You know, a few weeks ago, my nephew, he joined the IDF and he's in the paratroopers, so they went to the Kotel to the swearing them. So they made a whole ceremony, and this commander talks, and the head of the, I don't know the how you translate it in Hebrew, but the machat, the mefaked of the entire chativa, talks, and then the magad, the head of the brigade, and this, and they make a whole ceremony out of it for 1 second to say ani nishba. So why? Because the ceremony gives it important, and the flag, and the trumpets, and Same thing in the Erev Shabbat. The husband walks in and the table has to be beautifully set and not like some cheap tablecloth. And I'm not chas v'shalom making fun of somebody who can't afford it. So you take your best of your money to put a beautiful tablecloth and a beautiful silverware and everything beautiful. And you sing in the beginning and you sing Shalom Aleichem and Eshet Chayil and all these songs and the Kiddush. Part of the Kiddush is the ceremony that, you know, like a commander talking before the event. So it's not necessarily for the actual act that I'm drinking wine, is that I'm standing, everybody's standing like, you know, soldiers, and the father talks and he chants or whatever, or he sings it, and he also screams to everybody, Savarim Aranan, people, I need your attention. The whole ceremony, so everything is, if everything is done like a joke, then the entire ceremony will be taken in the exact same measure. But if you make it like a very special thing, you know, you can do one thing that each child has his special plate, so they get like maybe a name or their special candy on the plate. You can make such, use your imagination, and it depends on the child's age. I mean, you can't do it to a 17-year-old, but to a 3-year-old, when they get a special seat, I mean, we have a very, very special, like a beautiful china for Shabbat. So the rule in the house, you have to be 8 years old. You know the build-up for the child to get a plate.
No. That won't break.
Yeah. So now my 8-year-old became 8. Ooh, now he's getting a fancy plate. So when they're younger, they get a little kid plate. So it's little, these little things. And you want them, you can make, you know, for the little ones, they get excited. So the plates, you know, whether it has their hero that they like, whatever it is. But that's the Shabbat plate. Ooh, I get this, you know, the character. And you use your own imagination what hypes up the kids. If they get hyped up before you go to a water park because they're going to have fun, make sure you hype them up for the Shabbat meal because they're going to get something. They're going to get dressed. So my little girls, they dress, you know, the beautiful Shabbat dress. They don't wear it during the week. So for a little girl, a 3-year-old girl, to wear the ribbon and the shmibbin and all these little things, for her, that's the Shabbat is about being dressed all nice. So I'm just throwing all sorts of different ideas, but you wanna, the whole point in the Shabbat meal is to get everybody together, that everybody gets the attention, and that's why you wanna talk about holy things, because if you talk about the job, then the kids will say, that's what you talk about every week. So you want your husband to, not to say a sophisticated Dvar Torah that your 7-year-old will be like, what is he talking about? So some husbands, they think they need to be so in-depth. Tell them a story. A 7-year-old doesn't want to hear a Dvar Torah. He wants to hear an inspiring, funny story. So it all depends how you conduct it. Some people, their theme is that they want to be just with the family. Some people, they say, no, I want to have a lot of guests. So every way you present it, you have to make it for the kids that it's fun for them. A kid will not want to go to shul because his father told him, come to shul. It's because he gets candies there. And he gets attention from his dad. And he gets to sit next to his dad. And he gets to hold his dad's hand. So you have to be very sophisticated how you're pulling the kid to enjoy it. Now when the kids enjoy the Shabbat, then the entire table is totally different. Now then again, then sometimes nature interferes. And sometimes Shabbat is at 10 o'clock at night. And the kids are already cranky. And they're tired. And then they're hungry. Then nature kicks in, and you have to sometimes, so your Shabbat meal is not as perfect as you want. Because it's Shabbat only starts at 9 o'clock, and the little ones are already half asleep. So you have to be very dynamic in what you can do, so you make the Shabbat meal special, not the Friday. So sometimes, when our kids were much, much more younger, so they would eat. Yeah, we would accept the Shabbat much, much earlier, so they can have a normal meal and go to bed. So the special meal was Shabbat in the day. So you have to be dynamic in here, and for something what you asked, if one meal they talk about business, so you say, okay, this the day meal we talk about business, the Friday meal it's only Divrei Torah. And of course you want to have it as much as possible holy and special. So it all depends how, you know, how do you call the guy that goes like that, the conductor? Okay, so you're the conductor. Everybody else, they play the instruments, you the conductor. If you conduct the Shabbat table how you wanted to, and of course everything is easier said than done, but that's why you have a partner, and you discuss with the partner the day before the event, okay, how is our Shabbat table going to look like? Is our Shabbat table going to look like a beautiful, holy table, or is it going to be a business meeting and a board meeting between all the executives? So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a partner, and how you set your bed. Mi she'tarach be'erev Shabbat, yuchal be'Shabbat. Whoever toiled on Erev Shabbat, on Friday morning, will eat on Shabbat. So it's not only the chunt, it's how you prepare the entire Shabbat. So yeah, if you have young kids, there are so many ways how to get the kids all excited. We used to buy balloons on Friday so the little ones will get a balloon on their chair. Now for a three-year-old to get a balloon on a meal, a whole hour looking at the balloon. And now in the subconscious of the child, Shabbat meal is the best meal, I got a balloon. So for a three-year-old it works good, for the four-year-old already it's not already a balloon, and five-year-old is, but you put it to them when they're already young, then they it already grows in them, the excitement. You want to bring excitement into the Torah and Mitzvot by kids. If they don't have excitement, they're not going to want to do anything. And the excitement starts with you are excited. If you're not excited, the kid will never be excited. Because our kids are our shadow. So if they see you and your husband all screaming and tension and fighting and mess and balagan, and so the kid is like, who needs this headache? I don't need this. But if the child sees the parents excited, then by default they'll be excited too. If a child sees his father 3 hours before Shabbat, fixing things away, shutting everything down, putting everything away in an exciting way, the child will be like, wow, look at that. Look how he's getting excited. And if the child sees the husband excited, you know, to watch the football game 2 minutes before Shabbat, to the last minute, then the child is like, what's the excitement here? So it all depends how you prepare everything. If you prepare everything the right way, then the fruits that you reap will be just as your preparation. So the preparation sometimes is more important than the actual act. And yes, you want to bring it to a point that everything is around the Shabbat table and it's special. And I don't know, you use your own imagination. You want to buy presents to the kids, they get them on Friday. We used to do that too. The kids will get a present on Friday. Wow, Shabbat, I get a present. The problem in our generation is that the kids, they get everything on a daily basis. So you want to put them on a diet and give it to them on Friday and Saturday. That all the presents, all the treats, the lollipops, the candies, it's all Shabbat. During the week, get fruit, get vegetables. So, and all the rewards. I mean, we you know, our kids, they come, with they get from their schools, it depends on the school, but they get like a report. Not a report, a tuda, like what they did the whole week and how they participated and blah, blah, blah. So each child get a 5-minute review. Okay, show me what you did, what you learned, what the child, first of all, the child says, oh, my father actually cares about what I did. So, and in most cases, they'll be proud to say what they did, and I learned that, and I learned this. And we try to make a discussion between the kids. So listen, of course, nothing is always as pink and beautiful as I'm painting it. But you want to at least strive. And it starts with how you and your husband prepare for everything. You do it the right way, then there's a much greater chance. And of course, listen, that you can blame a 4-year-old when it's 10 o'clock at night to sit calm. And I mean, there's always nature that will kick in. But you want to do as much as you can. And if you see that the Friday night is a harder one, then do the Shabbat one. And you want to make it nice, so our Shabbat meal we always eat outside, and we make it more special, and we do a party for the kids, that's when they get all their treats. So you have to plan it the right way. The reward that you will reap from that is kids that love Torah and Mitzvot. They love Shabbat, because they get to enjoy every little part of it. And yeah, it's a lot of effort, because sometimes you want to go to rest, you want to sleep, or you had a whole week of The husband comes to Shabbat, the head is just, let me just sit and relax. So, but we want to do as much as we can because our kids are our future. And we, if we bring them up the right way, that's the nachat, is only our kids. So the real nachat is when the kids are happy and they're healthy and they're in their right mind and they can be independent at some point and I don't have to be worrying about them because they're not going to be able to. So, you know, you want to invest a lot in your kids, especially when they're young, because the nachat comes only from the kids. And needless to say, when they become teenagers and they start becoming a little bit obnoxious, then, you know, 50% of it is what I gave to the kid. If I didn't give my kid patience and understanding and an ear and time and attention and all these things, I can come to complain that my kid later on doesn't want to listen to me or slams doors or whatever. Nobody to complain here. You give your child a lot of love and attention and what they need,